Amen. It's so wonderful to be able to hear the precious hymn sung. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles here this morning and let's see here. I left some papers at home here, so I'm trying to get organized here. I had papers with me and I had papers for Sunday school and not for the main service here. So let's start out in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's like when we were in Haiti, Brother Wall asked me to speak on the spot, and I had already preached a message in the morning, and he said, "Well, just go get the same message again." And I said, "No, I don't feel like preaching that message again." And so you never know when you're going to be put on the spot. So let's see here. Almost got it here. Okay. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 25, we'll begin in here. Luke 25 and verse 10. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart. And with what? All thy soul. And with what? All thy strength. And with all thy mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." In the bulletin, if you saw the title to the message this morning, it's written in what's called a hashtag. And the hashtag is love, and then a question mark. And maybe you're familiar with that type of thing or not. Maybe you're not familiar with hashtags. But this thing called a hashtag, if you notice, it's like a number symbol and then there'll be some words. And people use this in social media. This word, hashtag, was added to the Oxford English Dictionary in June of 2014 because of its wide use and acceptance. The use of hashtags was suggested on social media by a man named Chris Messina in a 2007 tweet. Now, I am not on Twitter, so I don't do tweets. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. But a hashtag is an identifying marker. So, in other words, if you say something in social media and put a hashtag in there, it's really like filing it or category. You know, if you go to the dentist or the doctor, they're going to pull your file. And so they are categorizing certain things. I'm thinking of one physician we go to. They not only have file folders, but different colors. Ways to help them identify where you're at so they can get to your information. So using a hashtag in social media is like maybe going out into a woods, maybe 40 acres of woods, and you've talked to the logger, and you're going to log off some of the woods. And so each one of the trees you want the logger to figure in, you're going to put an orange dot of spray paint on each tree. So each person you come in and have estimate your lumber, they'll know just what trees to go to because every tree that you want cut has an orange dot on it. It just puts all those trees in a category. Those are trees that I'm ready to have cut. I'm ready to sell those. So when you put a hashtag on media, say, the pious. You put out all your social media this week. You put out hashtag Pius birthday. So it trends on social media. Hashtag, everybody that writes a message on social media puts hashtag Pius birthday. And so Brother Jim and Sister Carol become famous overnight in America that their birthdays are this week. So that's what a hashtag does. People can find it by that category, birthdays or Pius. And so something like that can trend across not only America but across the world. And that very thing happens all of the time. Now, back to this hashtag. I saw this in a news article, Love is Love. And so I began to think about that thought. And so reading the news article, who used that hashtag was the Attorney General of Michigan. Somebody that's nationally known and famous had mentioned that they did not think that America was ready for a sodomite president. And so the Attorney General of the state of Michigan is a sodomite. She is married to a woman. And so she didn't like what this other personality said, that he didn't think America was ready for a sodomite president. And so she put out this hashtag, Love is Love. What does it mean? Well, this is a hashtag used by sodomites, and what it means is love is love. They're thinking, what does it matter if you are a man and you love a woman, or if you are a man and you love another man? Or if you are a woman and love your husband, what's the difference between that than if a woman loves her wife? You see what I mean? They're saying love is love. Who does it matter who you love? And so I began thinking about that. How would you answer that? If you were confronted by someone that's living an immoral lifestyle like that, what would you say? Because they're going to say, doesn't God tell us to love everyone? Well, then what's your problem with me loving this other person? So how would we answer that? Is it true that love is love, no matter who you love? So we read here in Luke 10 in verses 25 through 29, but we didn't read through 29, so let's look here again. And let's pick up in verse 27 again. And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So the Lord says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and so he asks, well, who's my neighbor? Well, in verse 30, And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on what? The other side. So the priest had no compassion. Verse 32, And likewise what? A Levite. So the Levites helped the priest. They're their helpers. When he was at the place, came and looked on him, and what? Passed by on the other side. So we've got the priest passed by and on the other side. We've got the helpers of the priest. They passed by on the other side. Verse 33, But a certain who? Samaritan. A Samaritan was a person whom the Jewish people despised. When the king of Assyria deported the Israelites from the northern tribes, after he deported the Jews, he imported other people into those places, and the lions were killing them, and so they asked for a priest from Israel to be brought in. So the Bible says they feared the Lord and served their own gods. That's one reason the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans, because they had a mixture of true and false religion. It was just like I said, they feared the Lord, but they served their idols. And so the Jewish people had no time or place for them. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him, something that neither the priest nor the Levite had. And so the question goes out to us, do we have compassion upon people in their needs? Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on what? His own beast. Now this person was beaten, no doubt bleeding. So we come across a person with our cars that they're alongside the road. They're all bloody and beaten. They've been robbed. Would we have to think once or twice about putting them in our car seats? You may say, well, I don't want to put that bloody person in my seat. This man put him on his beast. What about getting this person's blood on his saddle? I mean, how easy is it to get a blood stain out of a leather saddle? Brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said unto him, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So Jesus said that to show who is our neighbor. Our neighbor then is what? Anyone in need. That is our neighbor. So what do we say to this hashtag of love is love? God tells us to love everyone. So, well, it's foolish to say that love is love in the sense, if you mean that all love is the same for every single person, the same type of love, the same degree of love. Now, that's foolish. But that is what the Sodomites are saying. The Sodomites are saying, with the same love, if you are a man, the same love you have for your female wife, the Sodomite is saying, there's nothing wrong with me being a man, having that same affectionate love toward another man, or for a woman who is a Sodomite, for having that same love for another woman. Same degree of love. Well, that's foolish, because they do not follow that in every area of their lives. In other words, love is not always love in the same type or degree. Now, how many of you have pets? How many of you love your pets? Okay. Is that the same love, though, you have for your parents or your brothers and sisters, or if you're married, to your wife or to your husband? No, it's not the same type of love. It's a love, but it's not the same type. Now, if love is love, though, remember the Sodomites are saying so you're a man and you love a woman, or you're a woman and you love a man. There's nothing wrong with me, they say, if I'm a woman loving another woman in that way, or if I'm a man loving another man in that way. That's what they're saying. Love is love. It doesn't matter. Well, if that is true, then I'm sure there are many Sodomites with pets. Then why don't they marry their dog or their cat or their horse? You see what I mean? If love is love, that's what they're saying, and that's what they're going to pull on you. If you try to tell them, listen, this is not something that God approves of. This is an abomination to God. But that's what they're going to say. Well, love is love. They don't follow that in their own lives, even though there is such a thing as bestiality. And, maybe some of them are into that too. But, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things. It's been quite a few months ago, or maybe even a year or two, but there was a woman that married a tree in her yard because the city or whoever was going to cut it down. And so she thought somehow that would help protect the tree. by being married to her. Well, that's a little foolish, isn't it? Yes, it is. So, how many of you love your phones? Be honest. Okay. Some of you are honest. Some of you hate phones. I know I worked with my dad in a lumber company years ago, and I came to the point where I hated telephones. I hated the ring of that thing. Now, you need that thing to ring if you're to stay in business, but it can get real annoying. Now, some of you love your phones. Others of you just don't want to say it, okay? But how many of you have married your phone? No one. Okay, so love isn't love, is it? In other words, you love your wife or you love your husband in a different way than you love your phone, than you love your pet. How many of you love pizza? Okay, how many of you have ever married a pizza? No one. So love isn't always love, is it? They're saying love is love. No, it isn't. There's different degrees and types of love. How many of you love ice cream? Okay. How many of you have ever married a half gallon? A gallon? 2 gallons? I know some of you young men can eat a lot of ice cream. Okay. How many of you love Hudsonville ice cream? How many of you love Breyers? How many of you love Meyer's Purple Cow? How many of you love Eddie's? All right. Anyone married? No, not to none of those. Now, just stop and think about this. You said, how many of you, overall, how many love ice cream? Okay, how many of you have eaten different types of ice cream? Do you realize you are an adulterer? No, you said you love Hudsonville, but you dared to eat Breyers or Eddie's or Meyer's Purple Cow. Do you see how foolish it is to say love is love? I mean, have you been unfaithful to your ice cream brand lately? You see how foolish and silly that is? Love is not always love. Love is always in specific degrees. But anyway, that's what they'll put to you. So enough of that. But you see that it's an untrue hashtag. Our Attorney General of Michigan used that hashtag, love is love. Well, no, it isn't. Even you can show the hypocrisy in their own lives. Love is not always the same, what they're trying to say. So getting to the point then, what should we do? How can we show them the truth? Well, let's look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 in verse 36. Matthew 22:36. So if you're taking notes this morning, number one, the answer to this hashtag and the answer to the Sodomites coming back and saying, listen, why do you Christians have trouble with me? God tells us to love everyone, and that's what I am doing. So what's your problem? You're being inconsistent. No. Number one, we are to love God supremely. Love God supremely. There should be no other love, no other type of love for anyone or anything that supersedes our love for God. He's supreme. Matthew 22:36. Master, which is what? The great commandment in the law. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart and with what? All thy soul and with what? All thy mind. This is the what? First and what? Great commandment. This is the highest love we are to have in our lives. This is to supersede all other loves and degrees and types. We're to love God supremely. So let's look at this. First of all, in verse 37, with all of our hearts. We are to love God supremely with all of our hearts. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, our heart is our seat of emotions, our trust. That's in our heart. If you hold your place here with me, turn please to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. The Bible says what? Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. That's why I say the Bible talks about the heart being our seat of emotions, our seat, our center of trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So in all of our ways, we should acknowledge Him. Questions about what we should do, our love, our devotion should be supremely to Him. Lord, I trust You with all my heart. I acknowledge You. What do You want me to do in whatever given situation it is? Another passage here, Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 7. Psalm 62 and verse 7. The Bible says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Verse 8, Psalm 62, 8. What does it say? Trust in Him what? At all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Selah means to pause and meditate on that. So verse 8 says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. So God is to have first place in our heart. Our emotions, our trust, our allegiance should be to Him supremely. And that's the only way to be saved. Notice in Romans 10, Romans chapter 10, there's no other way to be saved other than by our hearts trusting in Him, placing our complete trust in Him. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou what? Shalt be saved. For with what? The heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So our love is not going to be proper unless our heart is after the Lord. First of all, in salvation, asking the Lord to save us from our hearts, asking Him that. Placing our complete trust in Him, that Jesus is the Creator, that He was born of a miraculous virgin birth, that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again from the grave, and ever lives and is coming again. Our hearts must be yielded to Him in receiving Him as Savior. So, love is not love. In other words, love has varying degrees and allegiances, and He must have our complete emotions, trust, and allegiance. Then back in Matthew 22, Matthew 22 and verse 37, so it said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all what? Thy soul. Okay, what is the difference? The heart is our seat of emotions, our place where we trust or do not trust. Our soul deals with our lives and our actions. So our heart deals with our emotions and trust, but our soul is dealing with movement, action, putting our emotions into action. Now, you may have strong emotions, and it may move you to action. you may have strong emotions of sorrow, and so the action comes where those tears start streaming down your cheeks. It's moved you. And you may do something. You might be upset about something. And so your emotions move you into action. If you're afraid, at that point you may scream. Or if you are angry, I don't know. I hope you don't do something foolish. But we're talking about the action part here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Hold your place once again, if you would. But let's turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verse 7. What does it mean to love the Lord with all of our soul? Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. So God had formed man. God had formed man's body, but there was no breath, no life, no movement until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then man became a living soul. This being that he had formed now could move, could walk, and go into action. Now, we can say in our hearts that we love God. All of us can say, well, I do love God supremely. And I have received him as my Savior. I have put those emotions and that trust into action in that sense. But notice with me then in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We need to love God with more than words. In Luke 6 and verse 46. Luke 6, 46. It says, and why what? Call ye me Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things which I say. So do you see? Our emotions can stir us up and to thoughts, but what about actions? And so the Bible says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do you know what the word Lord means, that name means? It means master. And so he's saying, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It'd be like going to work tomorrow morning and saying, boss, boss. And then the boss says, go do this. And you don't do it. And so, you know, at break time, you say, how you doing, boss? And the boss says, why do you call me boss? You don't do what I tell you to do. It's a contradiction, isn't it? It's a contradiction to call someone boss and then not do what they tell you to do. It's a contradiction that won't go on very long, probably, and you'll be fired. But the Lord says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's a contradiction. Notice with me in Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 2. Matthew 23 and verse 2. So we're talking about loving God supremely with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. So we're talking now about the action part of it. So in Matthew 22, verse 3, or 2, excuse me, Matthew 23, verse 2, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they what? They say and what? Do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So verse 3 said, they say and they do not. So our love for God should be supreme. With all of our hearts, our emotions, our trust, and then with all of our souls, our actions should match up to that we love God supremely. And then back in Matthew 22 here in verse 37, Matthew 22:37, says Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with what? All thy mind. We're talking now about our thoughts. Our thoughts. So our hearts, our emotions, our trust, our souls, our actions, what we actually do, in our minds are our thoughts. Notice in chapter 6 of Matthew. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that what we do? Are we really seeking Him first in our thoughts? Well, a lot of people in this world don't even think about God. Notice in Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. You know, sometimes when you talk to someone about the Lord, it just may take them totally off guard. The fact of the matter is probably the majority of the way that people will hear God's name this week is in a swear word. If you say to someone, the Lord bless you, probably the only time this week they'll hear that, unless it's a fellow Christian in your own home. You probably won't, most of you will probably not hear that at work from anyone. The Lord bless you. You won't hear it. And Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is what? Not in all his thoughts. So when we talk to someone about the Lord, it's like a foreign concept to them many times. It's like talking about God, talking about eternity. It's just something they do not think about. God is not in all their thoughts. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. But God wants in our thoughts Him to be there and number one. In Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. So what is meditation? Meditation is our thoughts. When we meditate upon the Word of God, when we meditate upon God, that is our thoughts. And David's writing here that we are to meditate upon the Lord day and night. So, people's, and that's us, our love for God dims when the thoughts of other things crowd in into our lives. Notice in Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's so easy to get so busy with other things that God does not have the place in our thoughts that He should have. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 6:10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which what? Thou buildest not. And houses what? Full of all good things, which thou fillest not. And wells digged, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten, and what? Be full, then what? Beware lest thou what? Forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, when we suffer need, not that we suffer that much in this country, but when we think we are suffering a need, it's so easy to go to the Lord in prayer. But when we are full and don't have a need and a care, seemingly, it's so easy to take it all for granted and not come to the Lord like we ought to. You know what happened when Israel went into the promised land? They crossed Jericho. Miraculously, God had the waters held back. They went over. God told Joshua, I want you to march around the city 7 days in a row. Once a day for the first 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, and then I want you to shout, and the walls are going to fall down flat. So they did that, and wow, that seemed like an easy victory. So you know what happened on the next battle at Ai? They didn't ask God what to do. And so the guy said, well, I'll just send 2,000 or 3,000 up there. No problem. Well, it was a problem, wasn't it? Because the men of Ai chased them away. And so that's our problem. When we have it easy, what seems like an easy victory, on the next time it's just so easy not even to ask God. And then we realize just how much we need Him. So our thoughts, we're to love God with all of our thoughts. Our thoughts are to be centered on Him. Notice in Isaiah 55. Before people do sinful things, they normally think the wrong way. That's what Eve did when she saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Then she took. So our thoughts will precede our actions. So Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake what? His way. So that's the wicked and his way. And the what? The unrighteous man what? His thoughts. So the wicked is following a wicked way of life. But the unrighteous man is having the wrong thoughts. So are the wrong thoughts sin? Yes. Because we're labeled an unrighteous man. If I have the wrong thoughts, I'm labeled an unrighteous man. So it says in verse 7, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now sometimes people say, well, it's not sin to have the wrong thoughts. It's just a sin when you do the wrong thing. Well, that is incorrect. You'll find here repentance. Having the wrong thoughts, verse 7, requires me to go to the Lord and seek pardon, seek forgiveness for having the wrong thoughts. So number one, we are to love God supremely with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds. So the hashtag, love is love? No. Love is not always love. It's not always the same type of love. It's not always the same degree. There's many different degrees and types of love. So, in this matter of sodomy, how do you answer these people? Well, remember, we're to love God supremely. So number one under this section, love is not love, not the same type of love. Number one, if you are married, then to love another man or woman with marital affection is not love. God says that is adultery. Let me read that again. If you are married, then to love another man or woman with marital affection is not love. That is adultery. Notice in Exodus 20:14. Now remember, we're trying to figure out how to answer this hashtag, this excuse, this reasoning that sodomites have today. That they're going to kind of throw right back at you and say, well, hey, God says to love everyone, love your neighbor as yourself. They're forgetting to love God supremely in what He says. And He says, Exodus 20:14, thou shalt what? Not commit adultery. Look in verse 17, Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet what? Thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet what? Thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So to love your neighbor's wife as your own wife is adulterous thoughts and is covetousness. So that is sin. So love is not love. Love has many different degrees. So number two, to love a person of the same gender with marital affection is not love. God calls it an abomination. So if you are married, to love another person of the opposite gender other than your husband or wife, that is not love. God says that is adultery. Making it same genders now, to love another person of the same gender with marital affection is not love. God says it is abomination. He's the one that sets the definitions, the terms. Notice Leviticus 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Leviticus 18, 22. This is what God says. He says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? Abomination. Notice with me in Romans 1. So God says it's an abomination. So love is love? No, that's a false statement. There are many different degrees and types of love. God says there is. Some types of love are an abomination. A love for the same gender with marital type affection is abomination. Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to what? Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So number one, God says a love of the same for the same gender marital affection is an abomination. Here he says it's a dishonorable act. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto what? Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So God says it's an abomination. That type of love is an abomination. It's dishonorable. In verse 26, he calls it vile. Those are vile affections. That is not love is love. That is a vile affection. And then right there in verse 26 and 27, in verse 26 he said, for even their women did change the what? Natural use into that which is what? Against nature. And likewise also the men leaving what? The natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, working men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So God calls it an unnatural act. So you need these verses because the Sodomites today are saying, listen, I was born this way. No, God is the one that created mankind and womankind. God says this is an unnatural act. No one is born that way. We've looked at the thing about if you are married, to love another person other than your husband or wife of the opposite gender, that is adultery. To love a person with marital affection of the same gender, that's an abomination. And number three, to love material things is not love. It's idolatry. Colossians chapter 3. Remember, they say love is love. Doesn't matter. Love is always the same. No, it's not. To love material things is not love. God says it is idolatry. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3, do you set your what? Your affection where? On things above, not on things where? On the earth. When I was young, I think I could probably say I loved cars. Boy, that was a foolish thing. Cars are a big waste of money. They're a royal pain many times. They're trouble. And you'll find that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who what? Is our life? And that's a good question for us today. Is Christ our life? Is He? Where would we be without Christ today? Important question. Is Christ our life? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and what? Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. If I have a love for things, material things, you know, we talked about phones, and I just talked about cars, and ice cream, and whatever. We could go on and on and on. But if my love and my affection is on things on the earth, that is idolatry. That's what God says. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We'll close with this passage here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. And what's the first phrase? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him. See, our love is off. Love is not love. In other words, love is not the same for everyone and everything. There's all varying degrees. But if I love the things of this world, then I am not loving the Father like I should. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is what? Not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, what? Passeth away and the lust thereof. Cars, listen, don't get your heart set on vehicles. They rust. They become a piece of giant junk sheet metal real quick in an accident. Don't set your heart on those things. They don't last. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth what? The will of God abideth forever. And the will of God for everyone in here this morning is to be saved. God is not willing that any should what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God, that's his will for you today. He doesn't want you to perish. God's will for us as Christians is to get our love in the right priority, to love him supremely, and to have an answer for every man that asketh us a reason, the hope that is within us. Listen, I don't hate Sodomite people. I truly care for them. I want them to be saved, but they're living the life of an abomination. They're living a vile life. They're living an unnatural life. And God has something better for them. Number one, eternal life he wants to give them. He wants them to repent of their sin and turn to him. So may God give us the answers from the Scripture. You see the hashtag love is love? That is not true. They are not following that. And that is not true. Love is not always the same type, degree, and so on. May we have our love for God supreme. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray, Lord, if there are any here this morning who have never been saved, help them to realize just how much you love them, how much you long for them to turn from their sin to you. You will cleanse them. You will save them. You will give them the strength. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Lord, please give us the answers to people of this world. We read that something like 50% of those involved in sodomy will attempt to commit suicide. Lord, they are a needy group of people. They've been so deceived. Lord, please help us to be able to reach all people with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.